All right, how we doing, guys? How we doing, everybody? We're getting a little closer. How we doing, everybody? So good to see you guys. We are starting a new section tonight, and we'll be looking at the power of plugging in. The power of plugging in. You guys remember a few weeks ago you talked about seeds in your life and planting those seeds, protecting those seeds. We're going to start talking about some things in the next few weeks about watering those seeds. There's one thing when you come in on a Sunday morning and you sit on a great sermon. You've been there before. You sit after the sermon, you're like, that was so good. And you took notes and everything. You don't ever take notes. You're like, that's a note-taking message, right? And then what do we do with it? Sticking them, on the side of her Bible and a month later find it in there, right? What's so good when those seeds get planted in you that we take the opportunity to water those things. Anybody ever had a garden before? Okay, how many of you guys are good gardeners? Like that's your thing. Huh? I did a garden once. Once. Man, I couldn't get anything to grow. But you guys know it, and when you plant a seed, you gotta water that thing. It's gotta be in fertile soil, right? You gotta water that thing, and you gotta tend to it, and you gotta pull the weeds, and all that stuff. And if you'll take care of it in due time, in due season, look at your neighbor and say, due season. In due season, that thing's gonna reap a harvest if you don't give up on it, right? So you take those seeds and the things that we've been talking about, stick them way down into the heart, and then you water it. And so in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how do I water those things? How do I invite the Holy Spirit into my life so that he's watering that seed so that I can see it produce a crop in my life, right? So that's kind of where we're going to be. And we're going to go into the lesson for tonight, the power of plugging in. Let me pray over you. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to talk about you. God, we don't want to talk about you behind your back, if that's even possible. We want to invite you into the room. We want to have a conversation about you and with you. And Holy Spirit, we know that you are here with us. We talked about you last week, about how you teach us, you guide us, you illuminate the path for us. We're even opening your word and you're teaching us about your word. And so teach us, help us tonight, God, as we dig in, Lord, as we talk about getting plugged in through prayer and through worship. God, we want to plug into you. We want that seed, the seed of your word in our lives to produce a crop, Lord, 100 times, 1,000 times that which was planted. We invite you in here. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 God has a part in our spiritual growth. Which means you have a part in your spiritual growth, right? Well, I got saved and then nothing happened. Well, I stuck my hand up on a Sunday morning and I responded to the gospel and then nothing happened. Well, this is a covenant relationship. There's part that God does and there's parts that you do, right? So God has a part in our spiritual growth and we also have a part. He provides the power, but we must flip the switch. Work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you. Paul the Apostle said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I don't know if that means waking up every day being fearful, because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and joy and sound mind. But to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, that means work it out. That means be engaged in the process. That means not only did God save you so that you've got a place in heaven, but then he started working you so that you can walk with him from now through eternity. And so for many of you, even realizing the fact that eternity has already began with you, like it started the day that you gave your heart to Jesus, and now we're going to continue to grow through that. Salvation isn't fire insurance, right? I don't just get saved so that I don't have to go to hell someday. I got saved because God's got a plan for my life. God's doing something great in my life. So we're going to work out our salvation, for it is God who works in us. That's a quote from Rick Warren. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the world's seasoning. to make it tolerable. If you lose your flavor, what will happen to the world? And you yourselves will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors. I love that, of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. If there's no difference between you and the world, then you're not bringing anything to the world. If there's no difference between you and the walking dead at your work, those that have yet to give their lives to Christ, then you're not bringing anything to the table. There's got to be something different about you, right? There's got to be something salty. Look at your neighbor and say, you're salty. You got to be salty, right? It's got to be something salty about you, seasoning about you. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. And if I can pause there just for a moment, this is the part we don't like. This is the part of our relationship with God. As he begins to prune things and we get uncomfortable, that I start wondering, am I on the right track? Am I doing the right thing? Because, man, things kind of hurt right now. Things are tough right now. Well, God, you go through some pruning. There's some things in your life that just need to be lopped off. There's some things in your life that just need to get, they just need to be cut away, right? And God will help you do that, and sometimes he'll remove them for you. But there's other times where he is pruning you so that you can produce more fruit in your life. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit in it if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is getting plugged in and staying plugged in to him. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. He doesn't say they might produce fruit. If you are plugging in to God, if you're staying connected to God, you will produce fruit. You have no other option but to produce fruit, because that he is a fruit-producing God. For apart from me, you can do some things. For apart from me, there are certain types of things in life that you are capable of doing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's okay to get to a point in your life where you say, I can't do anything worth anything in my life apart from God. I like to say I can offer nothing of eternal value outside of my relationship with Christ. I could probably give you some decent tips on watching football or something. I was going to say gardening, but I just told you I'm not a good gardener. You know, I can add nothing of eternal value to you outside of my relationship with Christ. That's why it's so important that when you have somebody that's speaking into your life, that you don't attach yourself to that person. Because that person's got in themselves, they've got nothing to add to you. But if you're plugging into the one that they're pointing you to, are you with me? Plug into Christ. That person's got something to offer you. If it's an eternal value, it's coming straight from God. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Man, nobody wants that. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that's that seed getting planted down in your heart. You may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. And let me back up just for a second, because that verse is peculiar. You may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. Well, let me begin the list. I'd like to have a beach house somewhere in Florida, right? And a cabin up in the mountains somewhere. Is that what he's talking about? He's talking about when we remain in him, you know what's flowing in and through us? the will of God is. Jesus at the garden said, not my will, but your will be done. Guys, when we're plugged into him and our hearts and our minds are attached to him and what he has for our life, then we can ask according to his will and it'll be accomplished in and through us. That's why it's so important to get connected to God, because he'll begin to put dreams and things in you that come from him that then he's able to accomplish, so that we're not spinning our wheels trying to make our own thing happen. Are you with me? All right, move on. Why do I need to spend time with God? Why do I need to spend time with God? Number one, to get to know him more. We talked last week that the Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit's a person who has personality. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. But if you can grieve the Holy Spirit, you can also please the Holy Spirit, right? It's like if I can cause the Holy Spirit to have tears in his eyes, then I think there are times in my life where I could cause the Holy Spirit to put a smile on his face, right? I can do things that are pleasing to the Holy Spirit. We get to know him, and you can get to know God. Number two, to become more like him. To become more like him. You know, for a number of years, I was a youth pastor, and I did my time, and I was released. I love teenagers. In fact, I love speaking to teenagers. One of the things I would tell teenagers all the time, you know, hey, tell me who your three closest friends are, and I'll tell you what your future is. How many of you parents have said that before or something similar, right? Show me your three closest friends and I'll tell you what your future is. Why? Because, man, it rubs off on you, you know? And the people you hang out with, you're going to become like. If you're going to spend time with other godly people, guys, you're going to become godly. That stuff's going to rub off on you. Right? That doesn't mean that you disclude yourself from the world. Man, God wants us in the world, right? Make a difference. You got to be the salt in the world, right? But man, stay connected to people like Grow Track and be involved in, and connected in church and find two or three people that are pursuing God at a greater speed than you are. Why? Because you're gonna spend your life getting in lane with them, right? So find those people. You want to be more like him, and you got to spend time with him. If you want to be more like Jesus, you got to spend time with Jesus. If you want to be more of a woman of God or a man of God, then you got to spend time in his word and around people that spend time in his word. Number three, to be refreshed and strengthened. Why do I need to spend time with God? To be refreshed and strengthened. Man, there are just times. I was just speaking to somebody out in the hallway a few minutes ago. It's, you know, it's Wednesday, and it's already been a week. You know what I'm saying? It's been a long week, and you just go through it, man. You just, why? Because life is just hard. Life is just tough, and sometimes it just comes at you. And in those times, it's good to just get away and spend some quiet time with God, because in that quiet time, I'm going to be refreshed, and I'm going to be strengthened. When I'm plugging into him. Number four, to become empowered to live for him. To become empowered to live for him. How can I spend time with God? Why do I need to spend time with God? To know him, to be more like him, refreshed and strengthened, to be empowered. But how can I spend time with him? For some of you guys, this is going to be some real basic stuff. But let it be a reminder to you, guys, this is how we spend time with God. We spend time with God through prayer. And prayer, just talking to God. You know? You ever sat and listened to somebody pray and think, man, I wish I could pray like that. Man, they pray good. I wish I could pray gooder. Right? I think we forget sometimes, number one, God already knows what we're going to pray before it ever comes out of our mouth. And sometimes we need to realize that God is that friend that we can just talk to. You know, we read about guys like Moses or Noah. Man, they walked with God. They had a Moses was a friend of God, you know, and he talked to God like he was talking to his friend. And sometimes you just got to get real with God, you know. let's quit beating around the bush here and just let's talk about it, you know. God, this week has been terrible, you know. What was that all about, right? So just having that communion with God and prayer. How can I spend time with God? Through worship. Through worship. We're going to talk a little bit about worship tonight. But what is worship? What is worship? I'd like to add it as, you know, worship is more than just the first 15 minutes of Sunday morning service. How many of you guys enjoy our worship on Sunday mornings? Man, our worship team does an outstanding job. They're gifted and talented people. But I get concerned sometimes that we think that that's the only time that worship happens. You know, I can't wait to get to worship on Sunday morning. Man, worship can happen in your car. Worship happens in your shower in the morning. Worship can happen as before you go to bed at night. Worship can happen as you're reading the Word and something brand new is revealed to you. And you think, I never knew that before. And you just take a moment and you just say, God, I just want to thank you. You know, read through the book of Romans and all of a sudden you realize how much God is so full of grace and love and mercy for you. And you just take a moment, God, I just want to worship you. I just want to give you thanks. Because your grace is so good. I don't know about you, but there are times that I've spent time in His Word, and I just find myself weeping after I read something. I know the Holy Spirit's just revealed it to me, and I enter into worship, and there's no music playing. It's just me worshiping. Number three, how can I spend time with God? I'm reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. Guys, this is the Word of God. It's living. It's active. Look at your neighbor and say, it's living and active. It's alive. Let's say it's not a dead word. This is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces between bone and marrow. It discerns the hearts of man. This book right here will read your mail. I'm serious. You get into this Bible and it will tear you up. It's going to cut you in one way and heal you in the other. That's why that double-edged sword, it cut in one way and heal you in the other. That's the Word of God. It's active. Like, don't ever think that this is some ancient book with some good ancient writing. This thing is alive. And I'm telling you, when you get the Word of God in you and through you, and you begin to see God working those things out through you, man, that's spending time with God. That's seeing His Word alive and active in your life. The Word of God is, you know, Jesus is the Word of God. So as Jesus is making His way in and through you, you become more and more like Him. Spending time with God is often referred to as your daily devotions. Your daily devotions. And I would say figure out what works for you. Figure out what works for you. You need to spend time with God every day. You got to spend time with God every day. You know, it's kind of like I've been in May. I'll have been married for 18 years of glorious bliss. been an amazing 18 years, but can you imagine what that relationship would look like if I only talked to her once a week for like an hour and a half? Right? How many of you ladies are thinking that ain't going to work? Right? It doesn't work. That won't work. But somehow we think that our relationship with God is going to work the same. Like I'm just going to come in and have a quick conversation with Him on a Sunday morning for an hour and a half and think I'm good for the rest of the week. Are you kidding me? Are you with me? That one hurt a little bit too much? Come on, we got to spend time with Him. We got to spend time with Him on a daily basis. You know, dig into the Word. Find some time to pray. You know, when you're taking the kids to school, that's, you know, for me, I run my kids up to school in the morning. I've got a good 30 minutes. I'll either turn some worship music on or I'll turn the radio off and just, man, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about my troubles, you know? An old song. Prayer. Why do we need to spend time with God consistently? Number one, God tells us to pray. God tells us to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's His will that you pray. It's His will that you have an ongoing relationship with Him. That's His will. That's His purpose, His plan for your life, that you know Him, that you walk with Him in the cool of the day. It's His will. Mark chapter 1, 35, 36. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Multiple times we're going to see that Jesus, if anybody had an excuse not to have the discipline of prayer, it could have been Jesus, because He's like God. He's like, you know, He's like, I'm walking with Him all the time. But even Jesus drew away from things, from the distractions, from the parts of things of the world to find time to pray. If Jesus prayed, if Jesus needed to get away and be alone with God, how much more do we need to do the same? Spend time with God. Number two, prayer is the way we communicate with God. Prayer is the way we communicate with God. Matthew chapter 6, 5 and 7. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Praying, talking with God from your heart. Anybody seen the movie War Room? If you have not seen War Room, your homework assignment this week is to go rent War Room and watch that, buy a box of Kleenex. It's a great movie just on prayer, man. Number three, tap into His power and receive His help. Luke chapter 11, 9 through 11. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. What do you guys feel? What are you feeling in that scripture? Asking, seeking, knocking. Do you get a sense of that relationship that's happening there? Asking, seeking, knocking. As a branch must be connected to the tree to receive sap and nourishment, so the Christian must get and stay connected or plugged in to our true power source, the Holy Spirit. When we believe but never get connected, we lack the power and purpose we need in life. And it's been tough over the years to watch people who have made a commitment to Christ. Like we talked about last week, there's the conviction comes over you, and you realize, man, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and you invite Jesus to come in and forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and He's faithful to do that, and you begin this walk with God, but you don't get plugged in. And it's been sad over the years to see people who fail to get plugged in that just end up walking away, because life is just tough. Man, we need His and His power and His help in our lives. The purpose and the power of praise and worship. Let's talk about worship for just a moment. We talked about prayer and the importance of prayer and getting connected, but what about worship? What is worship? Worship is adoration. It's extreme devotion. It's intense love or admiration. Worship is the reasonable, heartfelt response of those who have known God's grace and value Him above anyone or anything else. Let me see if I can find a scripture that just came to my mind. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter, I think it's chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's another translation that says this is your reasonable act of worship. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is worship. Psalms 22:3, God inhabits the praises of his people. Isn't it cool to think about as we're worshiping and we're praising God that he like comes into that? Like when I start to talk about him, it's kind of like my kids. They've got this little radar. Maybe your kids do too. Like if my wife and I are like talking about one of them, like their little ears start burning and they like pop their head and, hey, heard my name. Well, yeah, if I wanted to talk to you, I would call you in here, but I don't. You know, we're sitting in the front car and we're driving and I mean, it's just constant. Hey, is that, what did you say? I wasn't talking to you. Am I the only one? It's none of your business. If I wanted to talk to you, I would say, hey, I want to talk to you, but I don't. God inhabits his, I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, I know. As we're talking about him, like he comes in the room. Like you start to talk about God, he comes into the room. You know, if you sit down and have coffee with somebody and start talking about the world with them, man, God's present right there. You know, he inhabits the praises of his people. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So there's a posture that we take in worship. And some of you, maybe you haven't come from really a worshipful background. And you show up on a Sunday morning and you see people like raising their hands and stuff. And you're like, that kind of freaks me out, you know? Maybe it's a new thing for you. I got a little bit of video I want to share with you that could instruct you on maybe how to engage, maybe tip your toe in the water a little bit when it comes to worship. Let's check out Tim Hawkins. He's got some things to show us. All right, we're going to stand and work on those together now. Some calisthenics here. There's different postures of worship, but can I just encourage you, you know, like stretch yourself a little bit, you know? We read the scriptures. That one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament is David. You know, David messed up, like really messed up, like big time mess up. And yet he was a man after God's own heart, the scriptures say. Thankful for guys like that in the Bible, because I think, man, when I mess up, you know, I can still have a heart after Jesus. You know, I'm still a work in progress. But one of the scriptures it talks about, he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the city, and so thankful for the Ark, which represented the presence of God, that the presence of God was now returning back to the city, that he danced before the Lord. Like he danced in the streets so much that his wife, Michael, up in the tower, she's like, who is this fool in the streets dancing around? And the scriptures say he was naked. And you think, what in the world? Rated R. What kind of book is this? Like, the point wasn't him being naked and dancing. The point, you know, she said, what kind of a fool are you to be out there dancing? All these people staring at you. Duh. She's like, what are you making a fool out of yourself? What do you think people are going to say? Guys, we kind of go through the same thing, don't we? What would people say if I went down there on Sunday morning for prayer? What would people say if I responded, you know, in the way that I felt like my heart wanted to respond? If I knelt down during worship, if I raised my hands in worship, if I actually responded, what are people going to say? Liz, you got to forget about that. You got to have the heart of David that says, listen, I love this. He said to her, listen, woman, I will become even more undignified than this if it means pleasing my king. You know what hit to him? Listen, worship was so far beyond this whole, I'm going to please people here on earth. I want to live a life that's pleasing to him. It's worship, man. David knew how to worship. He got crazy about worship. Let me just encourage you, step out and worship a little bit on Sunday morning, you know? If you gotta start with the flapping, that's fine. You know? But if a good song comes on, man, put a hand up, right? All right. Ways to worship God. Worship God together with other Christians. Let's do this together, man. Let's worship together. Psalms 95 uses the term, let us, 6 different times. Let us sing. Let us shout. Sometimes, man, just in worship or Pastor Jeremy's preaching, man, I just want to preach back at him. You know? Just shout back. I'm afraid he'll shout back at me. Shut up on the front row. It says, let us come before his presence. Let us worship. Let us kneel. Let us bow down. You know? Let's worship God. Number 2, worship God alone with no one else around. Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Worship God verbally. Well, I just don't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Are you sure what that means? I'm tone deaf. I can't sing. Right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. We're told to sing and to shout to the Lord. I know one thing for sure, that you can't sing or shout with your mouth shut. Right? Man, you just can't. Open your mouth. Praise God, you know? Sing out some songs. Sing a new song to the Lord. Whatever it is, use your mouth to praise God. Worship God physically. Number 4, worship God physically. The Bible talks about people who would bow down or kneel before the Lord. Psalms 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Any older saints in here know that song? Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. I see a couple of you. Come on, JR. You know that one, right? All you people shouting to God with a voice of praise. Hosanna. Okay, I'll stop. Worship God physically. Psalms, I'm in a real mood tonight. Psalms 134:2, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I would love to see it on a Sunday morning, just looking across the congregation, man, and people just got their hands lifted all over the place. It's so encouraging, right? So fun, man. Let's engage God. Let's worship God with our mouths, with our hands. All of these are legitimate postures for worship. The point is that we are to have the freedom to express our worship with our voices and with our bodies. You can bow, you can kneel, you can stand, you can sit, you can clap, you can lift your hands. These are the biblical forms of worship. You are free to use them in your worship of God. I would say, as long as it stays in the Bible and, you know, biblically based, man, our bodies are made to worship. God created us to worship. We need to be using those things for worship. The highest position that man can ever achieve is kneeling at the feet of Jesus. Number 5, we are to worship God in spirit. John 4:24. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. Sometimes I think we ought to leave a Sunday morning exhausted from our time of worship. You know what I'm saying? Man, you ought to sing your heart out to the Lord. What is the purpose of praise and worship? Number 1, to thank God for who he is and all he has done. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. To thank God for who he is and all he has done. I praise him simply because he is God and there is no one else like him. If nothing else, I praise him because he is God. Because he's worthy of praise. Like, well, I don't feel like anything good has happened to me this week. It's just been a terrible week. Listen, God is still on his throne, and he's still worthy of your praise. Praise God because he is God, who created us, who blesses us. Who else or what else could we worship that comes close to God? No one and no thing. Read the story of Job, right? This guy who lost everything. Man, he had reason to complain. And he had some open, honest conversations with God about what happened in his life. And then God had some pretty open, honest conversation with Job and said, hey, man, where were you when I started this whole thing? Where were you when I spoke the world into existence? Where were you? And Job, like, you know, gets put in his place and is like, hey, you're right, man, you're God, you know? Worship God for who he is. This is why, after the first two of the Ten Commandments, God says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He doesn't want you worshiping anything else in this world because he alone is Creator God. God is jealous when we worship anyone or anything other than him. God is jealous when we value anyone or anything before him. It's a righteous jealousy. It's a sign of true love. God's jealousy is part of his love for us. I remember a few years ago, this little video clip of Oprah. You guys know who Oprah is? This video clip, I don't want to bash Oprah. She's done some amazing things in the world. But there's this video clip of Oprah who... She went kind of on this rant about how she's not a Christian because at one point she read that God was a jealous God, and she just couldn't worship a God who was jealous. The problem with that is you forget that he's jealous about you. He's jealous for you. He doesn't want to share you with anybody else. He doesn't want to share you with false gods in this world. He wants to share you with things in this world that rust and moth eat away and destroy. He wants you for himself. He's a jealous God. And it's okay to worship him because he's a jealous God, because he's all jealous about you. That's part of his love and his passion for you. I praise him because he answers my prayers. Raise your hand if God has answered a prayer in your life. He's a prayer-answering God. And you may say, well, you know, I've been praying for something for a long time, and I don't see an answer yet. Keep praying. Keep leaning in. Just because you don't have an answer doesn't mean that answer is no. But there are times that the answer may be no, but it's still an answer from God. So keep leaning in. I praise him because of how he works in my life. I praise him because of what he has already done for me. Listen, if you can't find anything to praise him about, think back on what he did at Calvary for you, where he made it all possible. He took your sins on the cross for him. He took stripes on his back for your healing. You're saved today because of what he did on the cross, and if he did nothing else in our lives, man, he's worthy of our praise. Amen? Number two, to get your eyes on him and off of your troubles. If you're like me, sometimes I get overwhelmed and I get full of anxiety because of just the stuff in life. Because I got two teenage daughters and another one coming up in the ranks very quickly. Because life is just... It just comes at you like a freight train sometimes. And there are those times where I have to just pull myself away and just get into worship and praise, because if I fix my eyes on the things of this world, I'm going to be overran. But if I take a moment and fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. And I love how the scriptures say that, because when he's the author of my faith, that means that he's the writer of my story, somebody. And you may have a bad chapter from time to time, but he hasn't put the pen down yet. We're not at the conclusion yet. He's still writing your story, amen? So he's the author and perfecter of my faith, which means he's perfecting my faith. He's doing something in and through me to get your eyes off on him and off of your troubles. Hebrews 12:2, you looking away from all that will distract, looking to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of your faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand at the throne of God. Psalms 57:1 through 8. Oh God, I have pity. For I am trusting, O God, have pity, for I am trusting you. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings, and until this storm is past, I will cry to the God of heaven, and who does such wonders for me. He will send down help from heaven to save me because of his love and his faithfulness. He will rescue me from these liars who are so intent upon destroying me. I am surrounded by fierce lions, hotheads whose teeth are sharp as spears and arrows. Their tongues are like swords. Lord, be exalted above the highest heavens. Show your glory high above the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. Frantic fear grips me. They have dug a pitfall in my path, but look, they themselves have fallen into it. Oh God, my heart is quiet and confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Psalms 43:5, oh my soul, why be so gloomy and discouraged? Trust in God. I shall again praise him for his wondrous help. He will make me smile again, for he is my God. Sometimes you just got, like David, you just got to encourage yourself. Ain't nobody going to encourage me today. I'm just going to go in my closet somewhere and encourage myself. Oh, soul, why are you so downcast within me? Right? Strengthen yourself in God. Turn your eyes towards Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Number three, to feel his presence and learn more about him. We're getting close to the end here. You guys getting anything tonight? Man, I'm encouraging myself. I'm encouraging myself tonight. To feel his presence and learn more about him. Here's the cool thing. The more time you spend with God, the more you recognize him when he enters the room. The more time you spend with God, the more you recognize him when he enters. Is God with us all the time? Absolutely. Man, he's deposited his spirit inside of me. I know that the spirit of God lives in me. That's the Bible. It says that the spirit of God lives in me. Man, there are times when I just know that God's spirit has just entered the room. Because fear has just exited. Because anxiety is just gone. You know what I'm talking about? Like God just, he just comes into the room. And when God shows up in the room, he demands my attention. And there are times like on a Sunday morning when we're worshiping, and man, it feels like God has just entered the room because we're all, it's like we're focused. He's got my attention. You know what I'm talking about? I want to feel his presence, and I want to learn more about him. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Exodus 35:4-5-9. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with Moses as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Moses made haste to bow low towards the earth and worship. You see, Moses had asked for something crazy. He had said, God, I want to see your glory. God, I want to see your presence. And God shows up. When Moses got into the presence of God, he saw and understood who God really was and who he is. Number four, to defeat the enemy and his plans for your life. What is the purpose of praise and worship? To defeat the enemy and his plans for your life. Psalms 116:17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Offer a sacrifice of praise. Well, I just don't feel like praising today. I just don't feel like it. Some of you didn't feel like coming tonight, but you came anyways. Right? Because we don't always make decisions based on how we feel. And we can't, if we can't make decisions on how we feel just on basic things in life, then how much more in our relationship with God can we not, we can't make that mistake and just, well, I just don't feel like worshiping today. You know, we'll engage anyways. We'll press in anyways. It's amazing how there, especially those times when you don't feel it, when you feel just beat up from the week and you engage in worship and you press into worship, that God does something miraculous in that time. Why? Because it's a sacrifice of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a sacrifice. You know what that means? That means it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something if you don't press in, right? So press in. So praise anyhow. Press in and worship. Another scripture where David wanted to make a sacrifice, and somebody was offering these things to him, and he said, "Man, I'm not gonna offer a sacrifice to God that didn't cost me anything." Yeah, he knew the value of that sacrifice when it comes to praise. So next Sunday morning, when, man, you've been fighting it all week, and all you want to do is lay there in bed, and you feel like, man, I just don't want to go to church today. I'm just going to sleep in. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit reminds you of this discussion right here. And you say, you know what? I'm going to go, and I'm going to offer a sacrifice of praise. And then you tell me how you feel afterwards. Because it's in those times, man, I believe that God, when you press in, when it doesn't feel like it and you press in and you worship and it's a sacrifice of praise, that God honors that sacrifice. Offer a sacrifice of praise. It is a decision, and it will cost you something. And it will cost you something. I want to close with this story. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Quite a few verses here, but I want you to listen to this story. Story of King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll be reading in verse 18 through 30. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he has consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.'" Let's stop there just for a minute. The context of this, they're going out to battle. They're going out to fight. And King Jehoshaphat doesn't say, "Hey, everyone with sharp swords and great ninja skills, you guys go out first. You get out in front of us." Actually sends those worshipers out first. "Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them." Do you guys know that we have an enemy in our lives? Satan has come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. You know what? He is still out to steal, kill, and destroy. He was back in that day, and he is still today. Your enemy, each and every day, is out there to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, should you be afraid of him? No. He's a beaten foe. But he's still out with that intent. "And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were their dead bodies falling on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies." Man, that's just got to be weird. You guys ever read the Bible and say, "This is some weird stuff"? I mean, this is like crazy. This is crazy stuff. Is this a show on Netflix somewhere that I'm missing? Like a series somewhere? But they went and they over these dead bodies, and they're like taking precious jewelry and stripped off themselves, and when they could carry and more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the Lord, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka. until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Joseph out in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave them rest all around. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. They're not weapons of this world. Some of you are fighting some things in your life, and you're trying to use weapons of this world. You're trying to tear down strongholds with human wisdom, with human arguments, with the might of your fist, with biting your lip, bottom lip, as hard as you can. Listen, we fight against the enemy that he's not going to be defeated with the weapons of this world, but with spiritual weapons, with prayer and worship. You're facing some tough things in your life right now. Can I encourage you to find a place to pray and worship? And before you get out and say another word, spend time worshiping God and see what God won't do. Amen? This has been valuable tonight. All right, praise and worship, important, man. They're incredibly important, especially when it comes to when you're doing your devotions and you're leaning into God and you're taking some of these scriptures as seeds planted down in your heart. You got to water that thing. You know, spend a little bit of time after you read a scripture in the morning to pray and to worship. Guys, we live in a day and age where we got an abundance of worship stuff out there. Now, you don't have to put on Spotify. You don't have to turn on your Hillsong or whatever and worship. You can just sing a song to the Lord. But if you'll see that as the opportunity to water that seed that God's put it in your heart, I think you'll see the benefit of that. We're going to end with a video tonight. It's by Bill Hybels, and pastor of a mega church. Guy loves Jesus, loves the church, and this video is titled "Where's Your Chair?" And so we'll watch. It's about 9 minutes, so don't check out. It's a good video. I'll come back at the end of it. We'll close in prayer and be done tonight. All right. So where's your chair? Speaking to my father-in-law today, and you know, over the years, he's followed Jesus for a long time. But over the years, like many of us, you know, you kind of go through some valleys. In the last 5 to 6 years, I've seen him really press into his relationship with God like I've never seen before. Daily devotions, praying for his kids, praying for his grandkids. I was talking to him today, and he had sent me a text last night about 12:30 a.m., and he said, "Hey, did you see what time I sent that text?" And I said, "Yeah, it was like 12:30. What were you doing?" He said, "You know, Dan, he works in construction." He said, "You know, I really struggle sometimes to find time to meet with God. In construction, you get up early in the morning just as the sun is going, and you get after it." And he said, "You know, I prayed one time, God, help me to find the time. I want to have time with you. I want to spend that 30 minutes with you. I want to pray. I want to spend time in your word. I just can't find it." And he said, "You know, Dan, ever since then, God will wake me up between 12 and 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll get up, and I'll go find a spot with my Bible, and I'll pray 30, 45 minutes, then I'll fall back to sleep and get on with my day." Find your chair. Find your spot. Find the place where you're going to meet with God. You know, like you said, maybe you don't have a scenic outlook, you know? Maybe you got to find a little spot in your closet where you just set up a folding chair and pull the chair out and kneel down on the chair or something. Guys, find the time. Find the time to get plugged in. So when the time comes and you need a little bit of light in your life, there's power. You know what I'm saying? Find the time, because if you're not plugged in on a regular basis, you're going to go turn that thing on and there's nothing to it. But when you're plugging in with God on a regular basis, you're going to find the strength that you need in the time that you need it. And you're just going to be with him. And he's such an amazing God. He really is. Let's stand together. I'll pray over you. We've been a little bit longer tonight. Appreciate your patience. We'll get you out of here. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us tonight by your Holy Spirit. Throughout this week, I pray that each and every individual in this room would visualize, would find that place, would find that time, Lord, where they just spend it with you, whether it be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it looks like. God, to engage in your word, to worship you. God, this relationship with you is so much more than a Sunday and Wednesday night. God, we want to know you more, and we want to know you each and every day. So, Father, help us today. Help us this week, Lord, to honor you in all that we say and do, and invite you into our lives. Bring us back here safely on Sunday, God, where we're anticipating, God, a move of your spirit, Lord. We want to worship you and know more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a good night and the rest of the week. We'll see you on Sunday. Sunday. Sunday.